Hey, everybody, the impeachment of Ken Paxton is underway in Texas. And Dr. Pierre Corey on the war on ivermectin, very important conversation. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We've asked the question, where are the Republican attorneys general standing up for what is right? Where's the response to all the lawfare? Where is it? Well, you have to understand that they put the one man who was using the attorney general's office of Texas to go after the Biden administration, many other places, and they needed to put him in check and make an example out of him. See, if you step out of line, boom. Now, this is not a defense of everything Ken Paxton has done. I'm not going to do that. I find some of it to be morally objectionable. But I've known Ken for a while, and I've been told by him and others that these are private matters that are being dealt with. But I don't look at it as a reason why he should be removed from the Attorney General's office. Nor do I look at it as a reason that we should make this an impeachment proceeding. It's ridiculous. No, this looks to be intentional as a way to try to make an example. You are too bold as an attorney general. We're going to clobber you. Remember, we talked about in our op-ed, it's time to indict the left. Well, how can you indict the left if the good guys, the good law enforcement officers, are impeached and other attorneys generals are watching and they're taking notice? This is a massive chilling project to chill the speech and the activity of bold attorneys general. We must stand against the impeachment of Ken Paxton. We must not support the impeachment of Ken Paxton. We must rally behind the principle that Ken Paxton has done a lot of good for the people of Texas. And joining us now is John O'Shea, congressional candidate in Texas's 12th congressional district. He's also a Fort Worth area businessman, and he has all the information that our audience is really interested in regarding the impeachment of Ken Paxton. John, thank you for joining the program. Give us the update on the impeachment of Ken and what are the dynamics and forces at play here?
Well, it's good to be back with you, Charlie, except unfortunately under these circumstances. So as you just rightly outlaid, the establishment is going after Ken because Ken's been one of the champions of the America First movement and standing up for the constitutional rights of his constituents here in the state of Texas. No other attorney general, no other attorney general's office has pushed back against this unconstitutional regime that is trying to take away our civil liberties. And for that, we have a similar situation to what happened with President Trump with Alvin Bragg. There you had Matthew Colangelo leave the Department of Justice and all of a sudden mysteriously appear at the district attorney's office right as the charges were being filed against President Trump. Here you have a woman who left the Department of Justice and somehow managed to join the House Investigative Committee that nobody publicly knew was even occurring within the matter of days. So I would say that this is a coordinated effort. And the thing that's most disappointing to me, but hopefully will be a wake-up call to the voters, is that it was led in large part because the Republican leadership of the House, we had 60 Republicans who voted with the Democrats for his impeachment. And now that the fate of the best attorney general in the country rests in the hands of the Senate, where we have a 19-12 advantage as well, although Angela Paxton, Ken's wife, is not allowed to to vote, but it still needs a 21-vote level in order to impeach Ken Paxton. And unfortunately, there are a number of Republican senators who I just don't think we know until the final vote comes. So it's going to be very tuck and go.
So any Republican that votes for this needs to be removed from office in Texas. And I'm not making an excuse for Ken's alleged behavior. I'm not that interested in that, to be perfectly honest. He's an effective attorney general. He's fulfilled the mandate from his voters. So, John, make sure our audience understands this is being primarily driven by Republicans. What the heck is going on in the state of Texas while the southern border remains wide open and we are being invaded on a daily basis? We're worried about Ken Paxton's alleged mistresses. What the heck?
Well, it's even more egregious than that because the Texas House is largely viewed as a squish institution. They allow Democratic committee chairs, even though the Texas population or the voters gave the House a large Republican majority. And they put these people in positions of power. We were unable to get key legislative issues that were platforms for the state Republican Party through the House because they were just held up. But they used this 88th congressional session to actually, on the last day, hold a four-hour public hearing, which for a lot of people was the very first time that they even understood that there was an investigative committee that was going on. And on top of that, which makes it even more egregious because, like you said, it was led by Dade Phelan, who is the House Speaker, as Lieutenant Governor Patrick called him, California Dade, who clearly is not a conservative and is clearly doesn't hold to the Republican values of the electorate base here in Texas. But you had an impeachment trial that didn't even follow Texas code. I've been watching the Senate hearing this morning, and in fact, they just got finished reading the charges against Ken. And what, to me, I think was just kind of most just egregious was that they kept reading Texas code in which supposedly Ken's behavior violated. Well, the whole impeachment hearing violated Texas code. We have what's known as the prior election doctrine, Texas code 605, which says that a elected official cannot be impeached for events that were known to the public prior to an election. Well, Ken's alleged his situation was very public through both the primary and then the general election, with tens of millions of dollars being spent on media against him. And he still garnered 4.3 million votes and won by a landslide. And then on top of that, there's another Texas code which governs legislative witnesses needing to be under oath. Well, the way that this whole sham impeachment was handled by this investigative committee, you had two former DOJ officials holding secret investigations, talking to witnesses who are not under oath, then going and reporting to the committee, not under oath, and then the committee went and reported to the House, not under oath. So it's hearsay upon hearsay upon hearsay. So it's a sham. It is a political witch hunt. Regardless of whether or not Ken did do some of the things that he has alleged, I, like you, and frankly, the grassroots and all the other precinct chairs that I speak to are just outraged at this. This was a shooting ourselves in the foot, and very intentionally so.
So what is the call to action here? I'm told that these are the senators, Birdwell, Flores, Hancock, Huffman, Hughes, King, Middleton, Nichols, Sparks, and Springer in Texas. We need a grassroots push to contact these senators and say no, or what is the technical vote, whatever the vote is, right? The essence is no, right, to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxton. John.
Yeah, no, and in fact, to your point, it's interesting because they just laid out the rules for the public, Lieutenant Governor Patrick did, and actually each charge is going to have a whether or not the senator thinks that Ken was in fact guilty of that charge. But then it's a two-part question, because then the second part of that question is whether or not that is in and of itself sufficient to remove Ken from office. So I, like you, I mean, I've been friends with Ken for 20 years. We're all flawed human beings. And if Ken is guilty of some of these allegations, you know, then that's disappointing, but it's also not unheard of. But that in and of itself is not sufficient to remove him from office. So we've actually already been working on censoring the House representatives who voted for Ken's impeachment, all the Republicans, all 60 of them. In fact, I personally know three people who are primarying individuals who are in the state legislature in the area, and we're seeking to solicit a couple more to go because the people are fed up. They are so angry. We have a gentleman in the White House who supposedly won with 81 million votes, who clearly sold out his country, and we're not doing anything about that. But because Ken supposedly got granite countertops and maybe had a mistress who was hired by a campaign donor, we're going to take him off the board when the state of Texas, to your point, is suffering not only worse problems,
yes,
but needs him at the wall.
No, and let's be honest. Ken Paxton, the knives have been out for Ken because he has been one of the most forceful, in a good way, AGs in the country, and they want to make an example. It's a show trial.
Right.
This is not about a defense of Ken Paxton's personal life. This is that he was bold enough to enforce the law in a way that most Republican AGs won't, and they want to make an example. The reason we're hearing about any of this is because he's effective. And before I get lectured by anybody else, if I picked the 50 AGs across the country, unfortunately, I bet 1 out of 5 are actively having affairs. It's what happens in politics. I don't like it. But this is not a reason all of a sudden pander to the Democrats and pander to the Uniparty to remove AG Paxton, who's done a wonderful job. John, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code Charlie. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. I want to tell you how you could support the Michigan electors. There is a telethon that is going on right now. Gateway Pundit is streaming it, amongst many others. And it's called Save the Electors Telethon. And you guys can contribute to the Michigan electors. So for those of you that are not, you know, tracking this, we've covered it a fair amount, but it's amazing when I go to the grassroots, not everybody's aware of this. The Michigan Attorney General has indicted rank and file senior citizens in Michigan for signing a piece of paper that is within their constitutional authority, obviously, free speech, to become an alternate elector. The phone number is 888-403-8550. I'm trying to find if there's a website. Yeah, it's givesendgo.com/Michigan electors. If you're able, I personally have donated to Rose Rook, who is from Paw Paw, Michigan, 81 years old. Remember, the cruelty is the point. Again, the phone number is 888-403-8550. We have to, as a rule, rally behind the rank and file of our movement when they come under attack. It's 888-403-8550 or givesendgo.com/Michigan electors. They win when we betray our own. These people did nothing wrong. This is not even a hard call, everybody. It's not like these people all have DUIs and we have to defend something like morally questionable. They signed a piece of paper. They signed a piece of paper and they want to put an 81-year-old Rose Rook. Can we get a picture of Rose Rook in prison for the rest of her life? You can burn down a Wendy's, loot, rob, burn, steal. Half of all murders in Chicago go solved, so half of murderers walk free in Chicago. But the focus of Democrat AGs in this top-down color cultural revolution is Rose Rook and many others. You can put Rose's picture up. We helped promote her. That's what the regime thinks is a domestic terrorist. That. Dangerous, insurrectionist. They want to put her in jail for the rest of her life. So check it out. It's givesendgo.com/Michigan electors. Okay, I want to go to the story here that I hope is not true. And I've done some independent research here, but it's very troubling based on what I'm seeing. So when I first got my start at Turning Point USA, I spoke at a lot of National Federation of Republican Women events, NFRW. They're great. So I want to make sure I preface it. They are grassroots. They're active. But there's a controversy that has come up here with the NFRW. According to WND.com, and I verified this through a couple other sources, the National Federation of Republican Women refuse to pass a resolution saying that biological men who think they are women are not allowed to come into the NFRW. Eileen Sobjic, who is the head of the organization, the NFRW's national president, Eileen Sobjic, on advice from the organization's attorney, fears a lawsuit, saying that if we make this, addressing this issue would end us, saying that biological men are not allowed in the organization. I will not let this issue be our demise. Sobjic continued, Laura Carlson, who is the woman leading the effort to get the NFRW to align with a very popular GOP and women's cause, how about this, defending real women's spaces from being infiltrated by trans fake women, says she and her allies would be willing to raise the money necessary, obviously, for the challenges. But Eileen Sobjic is saying that this would be too costly from attorneys for us to pass a resolution for the National Federation of Republican Women to say what a woman is. The National Republican Women's Organization is afraid of lawsuits. This is a huge disappointment. I hope that there's more to this story. If any of you are part of the NFRW or any of the state chapters who do a great job, objectively a great job, they have their biennial conference coming up in Oklahoma City later this month. They have a bylaws proposal that is being pushed back against. They say, oh, no, it's too controversial. We don't want the lawsuits. If the NFRW, the National Federation of Republican Women, can't define what a woman is, we got serious problems. I hope that you guys act on this. If you know anybody in the leadership of NFRW or are aware of it, I would hope that the premier women's organization in the Republican side can define what a woman is. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. And we want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial, who I use for my wealth management future, develop a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide to pivoting into the new chapter of Life with Purpose, visit paxfg.com/Charlie. That is paxfg.com/Charlie. paxfg.com/Charlie. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests, a courageous truth teller, Dr. Pierre Corey, author of the book, The War on Ivermectin, the medicine that saved millions and could have ended the pandemic. Dr. Corey, welcome back. I'm here. I want to discuss this Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. Ruled in favor of three doctors allowing to move forward with their lawsuit, saying the FDA abused its authority with the anti-ivermectin messaging to Americans, saying that the FDA is not a physician. Dr. Corey, explain this to us.
Yeah, so you know, let's go back to the original court case, right? So when Paul and Mary Talley Bowden and Robert Apter, brought their lawsuit against the FDA for essentially infringing and interfering with the physician's ability to practice medicine. You know, the FDA argued that they had sovereign immunity and they could not be sued. And that lower court judge actually, you know, dismissed the case based on that argument, which is absolutely absurd. And then it went to a higher court. And what happened here is the higher court said, no, no, no. This is absolutely a case of the FDA overstepping its authority. They're interfering with the practice of medicine. And, you know, in my words, I'm going to say this is really an example of the integrity of our government in how they practice public health. I mean, they're literally influencing the behavior of citizens, physicians, hospitals with pithy little tweets, yes, you know, on Twitter. This is absurd. This is our federal government and its agencies, you know, and so this is a really, I think this is it sends a loud message. This is like, I'll use a baseball analogy, Charlie, like this is a brushback pitch, right? So we're under federal regulatory.
It's a little chin music, as we would call it in baseball, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well said. And, you know, it's a brushback pitch because, listen, we know the agencies are working in the service of the pharmaceutical industry. And we know that's why they were attacking ivermectin. They did it in this way. It was highly effective because Charlie, let's recognize what happened in the wake of that tweet, right? So suddenly it just snowballed, and you had hospitals removing it from their formularies, pharmacists around the country stopping to fill. You know, many patients didn't know that, that they could seek it out or that it was effective. And so it was immensely damaging. And, you know, now they're getting called to task. And so I think, you know, this is a huge case. This decision is massive. In my opinion, Charlie, this is the win. Because this is the message that sends them that they can't do this again. Otherwise, this is going to happen. And by the way, I don't know if you saw or saw some of the transcripts of the hearing. The FDA lawyer looked like a fool. I mean, those arguments were just yes. couldn't stand up. And the absurdity came out. And I think that's what's important.
And I want to just read this tweet. This is your federal government, everybody. This is as if a 19-year-old that is the head of some sorority Twitter account, who's kind of like snark queen, ends up getting the FDA's Twitter account. Quote, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. Why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. So the federal government comes in and is setting out these sarcastic, pithy tweets mocking doctors' decisions. And the engagement was, 108,000 people liked it. 47,000 people reposted it or retweeted it. And so, Dr. Corey, this is an important issue, which I have been told by a lot of people. Charlie, what happens between a doctor and a patient is private between a doctor and a patient, that you have HIPAA, that you should never challenge that. And regardless of the audience's opinions on abortion, that is the argument they always make on the abortion thing. It's just a fact, right? This is a medical procedure. Don't get in the way of it. Okay, fine. Let's put that aside. However, when it came to the administration of a drug where you do not know the whole patient's history, off-label use, it was this blunt forced instrument from the government to tell every doctor, you can't use this, regardless of the fact that ivermectin won a Nobel Prize. They kept early treatments out of our hands. And so Dr. Corey, just riff on this. This was one of the great, not just censorship. Is it unfair to say that the FDA has blood on its hands? That how many lives were lost because of this?
I mean, in this country, hundreds of thousands to millions. Across the globe, it's massive. Because, you know, Charlie, I mean, the U.S. federal health agencies have a larger reach than the U.S. I mean, so
yeah,
their behaviors rip across the globe. I mean, they set examples. A lot of agencies fall in lockstep around the world, like Europeans and whatnot. But, you know, I like your point. I mean, we're talking about the government entering the exam room,
yes,
which is private between a doctor and a patient, right? They are literally violating the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act by trying to practice medicine. They're interfering with the practice of medicine. They have no statutory authority to do that. And, you know, this is so important going forward, right? Again, we need to stop this interference and again, support the doctors in their autonomy. And I like your point. I mean, this is an FDA-approved drug. You know, even in their defense of this decision, so the FDA put out statements, you know, saying, you know, okay, you know, it's okay to prescribe, but we still haven't approved it. You know, that is such a misleading statement. We do not need the FDA to approve this drug. It's already FDA approved and it's off-label use. And you're absolutely correct about that. And again, I think this is really important that people pay attention to what's going on. And, you know, one other point, Charlie, is let's put this in a little historical context. Before COVID, you know what regulated or kind of restricted my behavior? Was essentially fear of malpractice. It was on me. It was my responsibility. Let's say I was going to use a drug that was ineffective and had some dangers, yet I still thought it would work. And I did that and it harmed the patient. That's my responsibility. And I'm going to be held accountable for that. But that's very personal, individual. I don't need the government interfering, you know, telling me what to do and whatnot. What do they know about medicine? Have they ever seen a COVID patient? Have they ever used ivermectin? I mean, it's absolutely, unconscionable, really, what's going on here.
Yeah, it's this massive contradiction. At one point, they're telling us when it comes to, you know, transgender reassignment surgeries and abortion, again, that it privacy and the sacrosanct decisions of doctors cannot be questioned. And yet when it comes to the treatment of somebody who has something where they might die, the FDA has a one-size-fits-all policy. And so, Dr. Corey, you and I have, you know, played around with this topic before, but I want to really lean into it. Regulatory capture. This is something that some people refuse to acknowledge or believe. I think it's starting to get out. you said something. You said that these agencies are nothing more than taxpayer-funded extensions of Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. Please elaborate on that.
So what I've said now for two, maybe 3 years is every time you look at any policy on any aspect of COVID, and you see that being emitted from whether it's the FDA statements, CDC policies, NIH, ask yourself one simple question. What would a pharmaceutical company want this policy to look like? Then read the policy. Ask yourself, who is best served by this policy? You know, all of these mandates that are illegitimate, this recent FOIA request, where literally the vaccine committees at the FDA knew that there was very little efficacy of the mandates, of the mandates in September 21, yet they mandated across the country, corporations, universities, schools, and it's so brazen, but that regulatory capture is so clear. I mean, if people think that our agencies are working in the service of our betterment of our health, they are not, right? So what is the primary responsibility of a pharmaceutical corporation? It's to their shareholder. It's about making money. Health is absolutely secondary. The history of that industry is such. And if you look at the destruction wrought in COVID, it's literally these agencies working in the service of industry running rampant over our lives, our health, our liberties. And I could never have imagined 3 years ago that it would be to this extreme, where literally every day of our lives, every facet of our lives is now being interfered with and really deteriorating because of the overreach of the government.
Well, and this is for some people a red pill moment or just an eye-opening moment, because Dr. Corey, the way that I was taught growing up is that there was an adversarial relationship between the bureaucracies and companies, that Pfizer is fighting the FDA and the FDA is fighting Pfizer, and they're constantly going after, you can't do this, you have to do that, and you have to make this, and they're constantly suing one another. What COVID revealed is that they're in a jacuzzi together, Dr. Corey.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to speak personally here, Charlie. I mean, I grew up New York City liberal, you know, voted Democrat my whole life. And, you know, going into COVID, what we just talked about, learning that what I thought was our government is not our government. They're literally working on the behest of corporations. And you're right. The government's role, I used to always be kind of pro-government because I thought they were like the referee leveling the playing field. They were there to protect us, again, from the rapaciousness of corporations. Now, when you see that the ref is literally being paid off by the other side,
that's right,
and all the calls they're making are going, like, how can you win? You're not only going to lose, but you're going to lose hugely. And that is what happened in COVID. We lost so much, trillions of dollars, our health, you know, excess mortality is exploding. Birth rates are dropping. I mean, I can't imagine a more outsized loss than what's happened once the ref starts calling all the shots for the other side.
It's very important. The War on Ivermectin by Dr. Pierre Corey. And this is a topic I want to explain. And Dr. Corey, you're so disciplined, and I don't mean to politicize this, but I think it's a fact when we go through this part. By the way, both Republicans and Democrats screwed up COVID, but here's a fact, okay? Is that if we would have had early treatments, the cascade of other tyrannical things would have been stopped. School closures, mass mail-in voting, even potentially riots because of the pent-up, you know, just energy that people had. And so if you look at the cause set in motion, this is why they had to choke point ivermectin. This is why they had to choke point the idea of early treatments. That if there were early treatments, then you wouldn't have to have the vaccine. If there were early treatments, then you wouldn't have to have mask mandates. So it's not just, it's, yes, the lives are obviously the most important takeaway. But look at all the other second, third, fourth, fifth sequence tragedies that occurred because we were not able to administer ivermectin. The War on Ivermectin, the medicine that helped millions and could have ended the pandemic. And you could go even as far as say that you could get a one world government order all the way through if you don't have early treatments. Think about that. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So, Dr. Corey, I know that we have reached a new level where here I am at Grand Teton National Park and people are wearing masks on the hiking trail. Not just one, but I'm talking about not a lot. I mean, I'd say 10%. They're wearing N95s. And I go to the grocery store locally, more and more masks. And so, Dr. Corey, it looks like they're heating up again. They're doing the slow wind up, right? They got the criminal Fauci out there. You know, he's starting to say that, oh, you know, we might need more. You got all these sorts. The whisper campaign is now getting to the shouting match. In fact, I think we have a Fauci clip here that the team. Oh, yeah. Let's just go to cut one here and then we'll let you react. Go to cut one.
The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference. How do we get beyond that finding of that particular review?
Yeah, but there are other studies, Michael, that show at an individual level for individual. When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong.
Okay, Dr. Corey, you're going to have to explain the newspeak because I'm not as cultured to understand what the heck he's talking about.
Yeah, what he says, unfortunately, doesn't make scientific sense. I mean, when you look at all the collections of studies, they did study individual protection, and there's no sustained or significant signal to show that it'll have individual protection. I mean, for sure, we know from epidemiology that public mask mandates don't work. But those, you know, a lot of those studies were in focus groups and they followed individual patients, and there's nothing conclusive to show that it helps. And, you know, that's example you just gave me, Charlie, of people wearing masks in Grand Teton Park, the way I interpret that,
true. Yeah.
Is it's just the results of the fearsome power of propaganda and repetition, right? It's that combination of inject fear, this variant's going to get you, masks worked, and then it sets you up for the savior, which is the vaccine, and just keep repeating it. Wear your mask, wear your mask, wear your mask. And so many of our population are going to fall into those repeated suggestions combined with the fear of getting sick. And they're always fear mongering. And I just feel bad. I'm glad people, you out there talking sense, getting people to think critically and not fall for this relentless propaganda. And by the way, when I see this uptake, Charlie, it's literally, I'm sorry to be blunt here. This is an advertising campaign to sell more vaccines. Yeah. Vaccine uptake has plummeted. How are you going to pick up vaccine uptake? You're going to do the same thing you did 2 years ago. Fear, propaganda, censorship, period.
I just want everyone to just kind of take a second and understand what Dr. Corey's saying there. You have people that see declining profits and then they meet in a room and say, let's make people afraid. That's what Dr. Corey is saying. We're not making as much money as we want to make, so let's go manipulate the masses so they run around like sheep and they're in a state of fear. That is a very, very deep point. I want to ask really quick, the current risk assessment, is it fair to say the CDC is saying that the BA.2.86, whatever, may be more capable of causing infection of people who have had the vaccine? What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, that statement, they're basically just, you know, I think it's a tacit admission that they're saying the vaccine, those vaccinated, it's not going to protect you from this new variant. And they're also saying that about natural immunity. So basically they're saying this variant is more likely to evade either natural or vaccine immunity, which another way of saying that's also a little bit of setup is go get your new vaccine. Now, the evidence that some new vaccine is going to protect, the one they're rolling out now is already, you know, a dollar late and, you know, a few steps short. You know, this... I mean, this absurdity of a global vaccination campaign for a highly mutagenic coronavirus, I mean, it was illogical before is this started? And we've had nothing but 3 years of evidence to show vaccinating against a mutagenic coronavirus does not work. And yet they keep doing it to that point that you and I just made. It sells an awful lot of vaccines. I mean, you know, this whole construct of the fear, you know, the onerous and oppressive government essentially forcing us to do this, do that, to get your vaccine. I mean, it's led to immense transfers of wealth. I mean, let's be clear about this. I mean, there are people who have benefited from this whole construct, and it's not the common
man.
Well, this is right.
And so here we are. I was in Jackson, and I was talking to the local restaurateurs. They said, Charlie, the billionaires are replacing the millionaires. COVID has been a boom industry for the oligarchs. The oligarchs are more powerful, they are more determined, and they have more control over society than after COVID. Makes you think. Dr. Corey, we're out of time. More on ivermectin. Check out the book. We're getting lots of emails, by the way, Dr. Corey. People love the book. It's very powerful. Especially as they're trying this again, read the book, The War on Ivermectin. Dr. Corey, come back soon. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.